If you will, turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. For the benefit of our guests this morning, we have been for some time now working our way through Hebrews chapter 11 and the heroes of the faith that are listed there as examples of what it means to believe. And at the very beginning of Hebrews 11, there is a very short definition of what faith is, and being the typical preacher that I am, I made what Scripture declares in a few words into many. And we've been working from that definition. I'll put it up here for you this morning. Biblical faith is the absolute confidence that what is predicted concerning the future, and that future could be the immediate future, as of right now, if you do this, I'll do that, or it could be the distant future, something that God predicted for years and years and years on down the line or anywhere in between. But nonetheless, biblical faith is the absolute confidence that whatever God says concerning the future will come to pass, and or the validating proof of the reality of things that cannot be comprehended by natural means. Things concerning the nature of God or the character of man or the world in which we live that God declares, and well, I don't know how we can prove that scientifically, but we take it by faith. Biblical faith is always founded solely upon the revelation of God to man. So we've been working from that definition, and in each of the cases where there is a description of someone and how they exercise faith, we have found that both the yellow or gold or whatever that is, their definition, and the blue definition have been exhibited in the lives of these people. This morning our text is Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12, and it deals with the faith of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And I would like to suggest to you that both parts of that definition are found right there. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. That would be that part right there. As we will see in just a moment or two, God had declared that Sarah would bring forth a child and his name would be Isaac. And Sarah took that message and believed. Now, we're going to find what's normally true, that this was not some type of, oh, okay, that's fine with me type of faith. It never is. But nonetheless, she believed. And consequently, she believed because she judged him faithful. Well, how do you know God is faithful? You can't prove it scientifically. But she found him to be faithful. And because of that, she did conceive. And she gave forth, or brought forth one by the name of Isaac. And out of that one came another two, Esau and Jacob. And out of one of those two came another 12. And out of those 12 came a multitude in generations to come. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand by the seashore innumerable. Pretty fantastic faith, don't you think? And we look at that and say, oh boy, I wish I could do things like that, or I wish I had such faith. Well, let's take a look at this faith this morning, and we begin in Genesis chapter 12. And in verse 1 it says this, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram," now I was going to quiz you a little bit. I was going to make you good Bible students and have you follow along and answer a question, but I decided to relent and be kind, and just give you the answer right off. I want you to notice here that God was speaking to Abram. He was not speaking to Sarah at this point in time, but he spoke to Abram, and he had this message, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God spoke to Abram, and he gave him a number of promises. Sarah didn't hear these words, at least immediately. Implied in this, but not specifically stated. Now, it's implied because we know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, is the birth of a child. But if you will notice carefully, it never says specifically that Abram was going to have a child of his own. It just says, I will make of thee a great nation. Can you imagine what it was like when Abram communicated this message to Sarah, his wife? Allow my perverted imagination to suggest what went on. Sarah is at home doing the chores. We'll make her ironing. There she is. She's ironing away. And all of a sudden, Abram comes in. Honey, I'm home. Hi, dear. How was your day? Oh, it was fantastic. God spoke to me. Oh, what do you have to say? Wait a minute, God. God spoke to you? Yeah, He did. Guess what? I am going to be the father of a great nation. Oh, that's nice. Come on, we're moving. Oh, where are we going? Cross town? No, I have no idea. No idea? Did that salami that I put in your lunch spoil? And she went with him. Verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran, and Abram took Sarah, his wife. Now, what could she do? Being the submissive wife that Scripture called her to be, you could say she had no choice to make. But in reality, she did. She could have stayed behind. It would have been costly. She would have been left to herself. She couldn't file for alimony or anything like that. If she stayed behind and disobeyed, she would have been on her own. And practically, she would have signed her own death warrant. But she did have a choice to make. Although not one that had good consequences on either side, just on the one. So she went with her husband, and I think she went not exhibiting this great confidence, this absolute confidence in what God had predicted, because after all, she really didn't hear it. She was hearing it secondhand. So they take off, not knowing where they were going, but she dutifully followed. And they get to the place where God would have them to go. Drop on down to verse 10. And there was a famine in the land. I can hear her now saying, why did you bring me here? And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. Now, notice the word sojourn. He wasn't planning on staying there. It was just for a brief time. For the famine was grievous in the land, and it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me. But they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And I have a feeling that the reason behind it all was, look, God has given me a promise, and that promise necessitates that I stay alive. Now, Sarah, you are a beautiful woman. She was 65 years old at that point in time. And she was a beautiful woman, a desirous woman. And Abraham says to himself, man, I've got a problem here, because they're going to want you And in order to get you, they're going to have to kill me. And in order for God's promises to come to effect, I need to be alive. Therefore, I better do something in order that I can accomplish the will of God in my life. What's wrong with that statement? God needs to do something in order that I might accomplish the will of God in my life. And see, He already had stated, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse you." If anyone's going to lay a hand on you, Abram, I'll take care of it. But that didn't happen. So, Sarah, I want you to tell them that I am your brother. Now, there was an element of truth to that statement. She actually was his half-sister. They had the same father, but not the same mother. And you say, ew. Remember, there was no Mosaic law at this point in time that forbade that type of a union. The bloodline was a whole lot purer, and these things could happen without consequence. They can't happen today without consequence. The plan seemed logical, except that that meant that a married woman was going to be given to another. And that's sin. And sin will never accomplish the will of God. Well, what could Sarai do? I mean, after all, her husband said, "This is what I want you to do." And she couldn't say to him, "No, I'm not going to do that," could she? Yes, she could. Fortunately, God intervened. Look at verse 18. "And Pharaoh called Abram and said, 'What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst not thou not tell me that she was thy wife?'" Man, you got to get away from here, because I'm not going to put up with this. And they did, and went back to the promised land. And when they were there, nothing happened. Time goes by, and nothing has happened to fulfill the will of God. Look at chapter 13, beginning at verse 14. "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, 'Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever.'" See, now up until this point, God had said to Abram, He said, "I'm going to make a great nation of you." But He never communicated to him how He was going to do that. Abram could have gone down into Egypt, and God would have empowered him to overthrow Pharaoh, and the Egyptians would have been under his control. He would have been the leader of a great nation. That's not how God intended to do that. Maybe Abram would have become such a great scholar or religious type person and gained a following that way, and multitudes would have followed after him, and they would have made a nation and ruled the world that way. That's not what happened. He said so for the very first time, specifically, "You're going to have a child. I am going to give this land to you and those who come from you. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." And here's the promise. Who wasn't there? Sarah. She never heard these words. It's at least immediately. Now, I think Abram came home that night and said, "Oh, honey, I'm home." And she's still doing the ironing. "How was your day, dear?" "Oh, it was great. God spoke to me again." "Oh, no. What did He say this time?" "I'm going to have a child." "Hey, that's fantastic." And guess what happened? Nothing. Turn on over to Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Lord, you promised, and nothing's happened. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be. And guess who wasn't there? Sarah. And he came home, and now this time, she's doing the wash. Honey, I'm home! Are we going through this again? Uh-huh. Nothing's happened, but God said it's okay. It's going to happen. Well, Sarah said, He told you that you're going to have a child. But what did he say about me? Nothing. Verse 1 of chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar, the maker of flax. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. You know, he never really said to you that I was going to be the mother. He said, You're going to be the father. You're going... And things haven't worked out. I mean, let's face it, Abram, we're not as young as we used to be. Time is running short here. Seems to me that, not that I doubt that God is going to give you children, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen with me. Somehow this has got to come to pass. Somehow God needs our help. Why don't you see if maybe Hagar is the solution to God's problems? And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai, and Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. Anything wrong with that? Well, the people of the land did that. That was a common thing for them to do. It seems to me somewhere, right in the very beginning of time, and for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wives. Oops, no, it says wife, singular. That wasn't in the will of God. Well, you know what happened with that? That didn't work. And some time goes by. Chapter 17, verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and said, Man, that's the best news I've heard all day. And laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abram said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Oh, Lord, that's fantastic, but Lord, it's too late. Look, I've got this perfectly good son out there. Can't you use him? And he came home from the office. And Sarai was, well, she's Sarah now. She's making supper. And honey, I'm home. Here we go again. I got good news for you this time. You're going to conceive. Ouch! Me? Yeah, that's what God said this time. And guess what happened? Nothing. A short amount of time goes by, chapter 18. God comes to visit along with two angels. Probably it's a Christophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it. It is not until you get to Genesis chapter 18 that Sarah hears from God himself personally, immediately, that she is going to conceive. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abram and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. After yesterday, I understand how old and well stricken go together. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old and shall have pleasure, my Lord being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, I shall of a surety bear a child which am old. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And Sarah denied. Verse 15, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. But Sarah, I'm going to do it at the appointed time, in the appointed way, with the appointed people. And you know what happened? Nothing. At least immediately. Chapter 20, verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelled in Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abram said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, said, and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream and said, you're a dead man, buddy. Well, Abraham did not leave the promised land. He stayed within the land that God had told him to go. So he was fine in going to where he went. It's just that the people there didn't really know who he was, and now he still has a wife that is desirable, and he's sticking to the old thing of, I better do something to keep this thing. After all, God has promised to me that I am going to have a child, and that child is going to go through Sarah, and she has to stay alive, and what am I going to do? What is God going to do? And fortunately, once again, he intervened. And chapter 21 says, now something's going to happen. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at when? The set time of which God had spoken to him. And Sarah uttered two Hebrew words. The first is a pronoun, huda. The second is a verb, thunk it. Who'da thunk it? That's sad that some of the laughs are coming 10, 15 seconds after I said that. When you get to Hebrews 11, it says, through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Put this all together. She heard, but she didn't really hear personally. She heard secondhand. Now, what Abraham told her is truth. She should have had enough to believe right there. But it was just a little bit of revelation. And she went to a promised land thinking, okay, this can happen. And there were problems in the land, and well, maybe God needs a hand, and oh, they shouldn't have done that. But they did that because they thought, okay, here's a promise given to us, and we hold the one who promised these things to do what he says he's going to do. And bits and bits and bits of more revelation come to him, and in those bits of revelation, there's faith is increasing. So that by the end of it, they're saying, we don't have to do anything. God will pull it off. God is capable of doing great things in your life. But he only does them on one condition. Like Abram and Sarah, you've got to come to the end of yourself and count the one who wants to work in you as capable and faithful in doing what he says he will do. It's as simple as that. Well, I trust God and He's never done anything great in my life. Back up there just a moment. What's great? My definition of a great thing is anything that the will of God determines. If you've accomplished the will of God today, you have done something great. No matter how magnanimous it may be or how trivial it may seem, if it's in the will of God, it is a great thing. And great things come to pass when people trust God to pull it off without outside interference. I'm not so certain how many 90-year-old women here today would like to have a child. I'm not so certain how many 100-year-old men would like to have a child and wake up at night and change diapers. I don't think if I took a show of hands this morning that anybody would say, yeah, that's fine. It doesn't have to be great things like that. Could be just a simple thing like taking an opportunity to share Christ with another person. But I don't know if I have that kind of faith. Well, from our study, Sarah didn't, apparently, at the very beginning of the thing. But as time went on, faith came by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And by the end of it, as she had gotten the complete revelation of God concerning her circumstances in the will of God, she did have that kind of faith. May I say to you, your faith is dependent upon how much of the Word of God is found in your life. stay outside of this book, you'll be in Egypt with all the troubles of Pharaoh. Get this book. Get into this book and this book into you. And you'll be doing great things. Let's pray. Father, we tend to look at some of these Old Testament heroes of the faith, and when we come to passages like the one we've studied today, we think, oh, those are superhuman people. When we recognize that they're just plain old ordinary folks like us, incapable in and of themselves of doing anything superhuman. In fact, we find them failing, just like us. But we recognize that they had a God who was suprahuman, a God who was infinite in power, in majesty, in sovereignty, in wisdom. A God who loved, who cared, who was involved in lives, and spoke His word, which was infallible. And simply as they listened to that word and applied it in their lives, great and wonderful things came to pass. Father, increase our faith today. Lord, maybe there's one here this morning who has never come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are outside of the kingdom of God. They are lost. They are without life. They are by definition sinners. Lord, may they recognize that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And by trusting in that blood of Calvary's cross, apart from any human addition, they can have those sins washed away. Past, present, future, and be spotless, and be what the Bible calls saints, children of God, with a home that is eternal in the heavens, waiting for us when Jesus Christ returns. May they come to faith in Him today. Father, maybe there's one of your children here this morning that's struggling. They know the will of God, but they're looking to see how they can accomplish it. What you need for them to do to help you along your way. May they recognize that you are the one who can only accomplish your will in their lives. And may they just be found faithful and obedient. And you will do great things in them and through them. For this end, I pray in the very precious name of Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Patrick.